Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
$1.35 billion, as Wendy corrected herself there at the end. How about that for tonight? I mentioned in the suit earlier today about the company's pension plan, and he said something about he was going down to the sheets to get it. I don't know what that means.
F-O-U-L-E, that spells out.
All right. I did that one time on the this is years ago on the radio network, and I had to read a Pennsylvania lottery reader on the air. And I closed. I said, the Pennsylvania Lottery, the unofficial pension plan of Learfield. No. I didn't even get a note about it, so I don't know. Either they weren't listening or it didn't bother them, either way. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. That pickle bar led by my two favorites. The barrels and the dills, indeed second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Hey, look, stock up tonight. It's going to be, you got seven great games coming up this weekend. Seven great games in the NFL. I know the Eagles aren't a part of it yet. They'll be next weekend, but yeah, stock up. Have some fun. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
He'll pull it. It's short.
I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what that was.
That was the and one from Iowa during overtime last night when the air ball was short. He caught it up, threw it up, and got fouled and got the bucket.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Al Michaels has been interviewed a lot, and he's got a playoff game coming up this weekend.
Yeah, him and Tony Dungy got Chargers Jags.
Yeah, no, they've got a good game. It's on what, Saturday night, right?
Correct.
Oh, that's right. You're Trevor Lawrence stat.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I always love when I will get stat sheets, you know, from the media notes. And I always love the one that says what their record is based on the jersey color is. I sit there and go, you got to be kidding me. I mean, do you even think I look at that?
I'm going to say no on that one.
No. I go through, I'm very specific as to what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for anything, you know. I can figure that, you know, the biggest one to me, especially in basketball, are the individual, like, full season stat sheets. That's what I'm looking for. What are the trends? Guys hot from the field, hot from the line, not hot at the line, not hot from the field, not shooting well from three, really crushing it from three. That's what I'm looking for. Stuff like that. So Michael said the Indianapolis-Denver game, which was a 12-9 game, no touchdowns. He referred to it as a dreadful game. In fact, at one point in the game, I said to Kirk, is it possible this game could be so bad it's actually good?
Correct. I remember that. That was epic.
And Herb Street said, no.
Um,
says, a lot of people said I was bored. A lot of people said I was ticked off that I was doing this. That's not the case. Monday night, Sunday night, I did things like this, maybe not to that degree, but he says, but I try to echo the feelings of what the fan feels because I'm a fan. Michael said he received only positive feedback and support from Amazon. He also then used a very funny metaphor to describe what it's like trying to get people excited over terrible football. From the Amazon people, nothing but support, said Michaels. I think they understood what this was. We're making the most of it. I mean, if you just can't, you just can't oversell something. Do you want me to sell you a 20-year-old Mazda? He says, that's what you're asking me to do. I can't sell you a used car. He says, I've gone down that road a little bit in games that have been bad in the past, but this game was horrifically bad. What were we supposed to say? He says, and anyway, I went.
And he's right. And that's what makes him so. That's what makes him one of the best to ever do it.
It's okay. He's honest about it. It's okay. You know?
In fact, that was the best part of the game, was that exchange right there.
And I was watching the game when he said it. I was watching the game when he said it. I laughed. Joe Buck recently joined Brian Curtis of The Ringer on the Press Box podcast to discuss being in the booth for the traumatic DeMar Hamlin game. Curtis asked Buck specifically what changed about his job as the broadcast transitioned from a sportscast to a newscast. Buck said, just being a human being. This is about another person who was in terrible distress on the field. I'm sure you're going to ask me about the five-minute thing with the league, and I understand why you want to ask me that. I think the frustrating thing to me is that this kind of settle of what took place in the field is overlooked, and it shouldn't be. And he's right about that. I mean, I do know that it reflects on the NFL. And I've been in his shoes. And so I understand exactly what he was thinking because I was on the air with Jack Ham when Adam Talaferro was on the field. So I know what he's thinking. That you now transition from I'm doing a game to then describing a scene and seeing if you can get any information possible on the air to anybody about what is going on. So I've walked a mile in his shoes. May have been a while ago, but I did. And the difference is that I knew Adam Talaferro. He probably had a little passing conversation with DeMar Hamlin. Buck said, quote, I've been told by people in the medical industry that even in an emergency room, they might not have handled it as well as it was actually handled on the field. That's what saved his life. And again, that's what Wayne Sebastianelli did with Adam Talaferro. In practice, that is what Jonathan Salazar had done with Marlon Smith. And I was there for both of those. To do what that medical team did with all that pressure, they nailed it. Buck did maintain the ESPN booth was told by the NFL there were plans to restart the game, while the league has denied offering that communication. This course is a sidebar issue, but continues to be a topic of conversation that Buck doesn't want to overshadow the main story, and that is, of course, Hamlin's miraculous recovery. Thank God for that. Jamari Budden has put his name into the transfer portal for Penn State football. Look, there have been literally no surprises during the course of this offseason. So there's been no drama, no surprises. I know some people have asked me why, for example, did Jamari Budden stay with the team through the Rose Bowl? Why did Fatorba Mulba stay with the football team for the Rose Bowl? Because they wanted to stay with the team and they wanted to play in the Rose Bowl. And both of them, because Budden plays on a special team, and you may not, and the fans do not realize this. There can't be more than a handful of fans that realize, you know, Mulba's on a special team too. He actually is on the field goal and extra point
offensive line team. So when you saw 55 out there, that was not J.B. Nelson. That was for Torba Mulba. And that's why Nelson, if you notice in games, wore 56. Mulba, the older player, 55, you know, in terms of being with the program. And that's why Nelson wore 56, because there was going to be a possibility that they might both be on that team together if there was an injury. So they made sure that JB had his 56 jersey. And they both played in the Rose Bowl. Well, it was no surprise, based on the traffic in front of them, that they ended up transferring, because there's traffic in front of them. And that's, can't blame them for that, not in the least. So there have been no surprises. I don't expect any surprises. The declaration for the NFL draft, Monday's the last day for that. Last day on the transfer portal entry is Wednesday. Then the next time the portal is open is May 1 to 15, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood right there. Okay? And that's how that plays out. But there's really been, and Junior Day is this weekend. So Penn State basketball is off yesterday. Today they're doing skill work. Tomorrow and Sunday, full practices. And then they've got to go, then they'll practice and then get on the plane and go to Madison on Monday night, play Tuesday night at 8:30. So that's what they have scheduled this weekend. Men's ice hockey team's at Michigan State this weekend. And the wrestling team, of course, next weekend has big, big plans next weekend. And because next weekend they've got the first of their two dual meets in the Jordan Center. When they've got Michigan here Friday night at 7. So a week from tonight, 7 o'clock in the Jordan Center. And then a week later, it's Iowa. Oh, by the way, sandwiched in between is a rec hall matchup with Michigan State on the 22nd. But Friday night, get out the shoehorn, because they'll need that to get people, to make sure they get everybody in. And then Iowa comes in, and you're going to have to find every shoehorn in the area to get every single person that wants to be in the building for that. Oh, my goodness. That's going to be something else. That is going to be something else. And they're off this weekend, so. That means they're going to go 2 weeks between. You know, they had a tough one with Wisconsin a week ago. They won it 28-12, but yeah, that's, now they got Michigan. That's next, and that's next Friday night in the BJC. Really cool. How about this story? John Tortorella. He is banning iPads on the bench. And because he wants them to concentrate on the game. And it's not as if there's not a video board they can look at it. It's not as if they can't look at video between periods. But I'll be honest with you, there's something to what he's saying here. And you may not agree with it, Matt. I mean, I brought your name. When I saw Tortorella in the hotel 2 weeks ago, I brought your name up.
Oh, you did?
He's just love the guy's rants. I wish I was him.
I really don't give one flying iota about this.
Oh, you don't?
Not really.
I think he's got a point, to be honest with you. I think you need to... there's a point where video's important. And there's no doubt that between periods you can use that because, you know, it takes a while to resurface the ice. But between periods, you want to take a look at video, see what's going on, why. I think there's something to locking in on the game, especially in a game where, you know, where it's in a sport where you sometimes have to change on the fly and you got to be ready to go. I think you have to get a real feel and flow for what's going on out there. And I think you got to be watching it to do it, kind of getting your own mental reps in there without looking away from it and looking at video. So I actually think there's a point to this that I agree with.
I'll take it then.
I'm just, because I video's important. There's no getting around. I mean, do I watch video? But I watch video before games. The only time I ever look at video is if it is a replay that the officials are looking at. So now I need to talk about what they're looking at, why they're looking at it, and what the potential outcome of it is. That's the only time I look at replay when I'm in a booth. Well, maybe I'm trying to think. In the Rose Bowl, it was above the TV was above us. So to be honest with you, I never really looked at a replay. In fact, I don't think that game had a single replay challenge in the game. You know that the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I don't think there was.
There was not one.
Yep,
there wasn't one in the entire game. And the game I did with Indiana the other night, I don't think there was a replay challenge in that game either. So sometimes you do hit that, and it's enjoyable. So I never really looked at any replay, and I've seen highlights of it since. So I've seen highlights of all the touchdowns, the interceptions, and so forth. So I've seen that part of it. I haven't watched a full replay. No, that's not right. I did watch a full replay of the game when I was in Michigan the night after, because I got to the hotel and it was on ESPNU, and I thought, yeah, I'll watch this. What the heck? Let's kind of see it from their point of view, see what they're doing. So I did watch it then. But during the game, I never looked at a single replay because it was the screen was up in such a way where I'd have to really sit, like either sit back or stand back to do it. And usually, like when Jack's taking a look at that stuff and I'm listening to what he's having to say, I'm looking at personnel to see, okay, have they gone dime? Who did they take out? Who's in? Who's the new running back? What's the combination of wide receiver? I'm looking for all of that while he's discussing that. So I don't look a lot of video myself during the game. Very little video during the game. And I think John Tortorella has a point about there's times where you can really absorb the adjustment. And that is when you are between periods. You can then absorb the adjustment that is needed by seeing it on video. And they have time to do that. See, I thought that would make you angry that he was yelling at you to get off his lawn.
No, I guess I'm fine with that. Part of the problem for me is I've just become so apathetic to this organization because of the disaster it's become that I've barely watched a second of the Flyers this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I guess that's fine. And they're somehow in the thick of the playoff hunt right now. They're only 7 points out of the second wild card spot somehow.
Yeah. I mean, tonight I'll probably watch a little bit of Nebraska-Purdue tonight, and I'll probably watch some of the Winnipeg and Penguins game tonight. I don't really have an interest in seeing anything the NBA has to offer tonight. What are ESPN has Warriors and Spurs, like, then they got the Nuggets and the Clippers.
Oh, and I think that game, the Spurs game, I think that's in the Alamo Dome, and it's now the most sold-out regular season game in NBA history. I think I saw that yesterday.
Oh, really?
Not that's going to make me watch it, but I'm just a note.
Yeah, they are. You're right. Record crowd at Alamo Dome. Is Curry playing? That would probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's been out.
Yeah. No Sixers tonight.
How are they playing? Okay or?
Better. Bad loss against OKC two nights ago. And they're up to the fourth spot in the East.
Oh, okay. Fourth in the East is pretty good.
So, yeah, they're playing better, and they're part of the reason why is they're healthier. Harden's back, Embiid's back, and back at full strength. Maxey's back now.
Well, I'll tell you know what Harden and Maxey can't do? In all honesty, watch them play. Neither one of them is a good defensive player at all. They are not good defensive players.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
I don't even think it's disputable.
Overall, the Sixers defense and I actually haven't watched much Sixers basketball so far because of my own basketball schedule. But the portions I've seen, the Sixers defense has been pretty poor.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's been an issue for them.
And they're getting squatola from PJ Tucker.
Well, but you know what?
I mean, literally nothing.
Yeah, but I expected that. I did not expect much at all from him.
There have been a ton of goose eggs from him on the stat sheet. Now, he may be other things on defense that I just haven't seen because I haven't watched every single second of every game. But from a stats perspective, he ain't giving them none right now.
Right. Steph Curry is playing tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, he's playing. He did play against the Suns. He played 31 minutes. He had 24 points. Hit 5 threes. I don't know, over the last 10 years if he's the best player in the league or top 5, but you know what? I think he is fun to watch. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. And it's the first time in 15 years he's played in a dome. And maybe I'll tune in a little bit then. I just see that for a couple minutes. That sounds like fun. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for now. It's going to be a chilly weekend with a lot of football on TV. So you just want to sit there, relax, maybe have somebody over, maybe go over to somebody's house. And make sure you are fully stocked and ready to go. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of Slushies Pickle Bar. Led by my favorites, the Barrels and the Dills. Indeed, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So Mega Millions, we'll get to the king in a moment. Mega Millions, $1.35 billion tonight. So many people, of course, would end up taking the lump sum. So the lump sum of $1.35 billion is $707.9 million. The amount automatically gets reduced by a mandatory 24% federal withholding. So you automatically off the top lose about $170 million. Now you're down to $538. Still not bad. And, of course, who knows if you have if, when it comes to income taxes after that. There's also state tax that you have to pay, local tax you would have to pay. So you'd end up probably getting around, $400, $420 million when it's all said and done. The odds of winning, one in $302.6 million.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul.
Well said, Doug. Well said. With that, we bring in the king.
King.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Doing great. How
Boy,
are you?
I didn't know they took that much out of it, because if I won, I was going to give you money, but forget about it now. I got it all budgeted out. And, well,
I feel awful
you guys
now
will
I
be
brought
rich,
it up.
Both of you.
Thank you.
You can buy the Eagles.
I don't know about that.
Actually, you know what? Let's go back to when the Clippers were in distress with Donald Sterling, and he was forced to sell the team. And Steve Ballmer, who had been with Microsoft all those years and had attempted to buy the Sacramento Kings and move them to Seattle, was the one that stepped in and bought the Clippers. He bought the Clippers for $2 billion. Well, okay, it's like $2 billion for the Clippers? Now you look at today, the Suns were sold for $4 billion. The Broncos are $4.6 billion. Carolina Panthers a few years ago were $2.2 billion, almost $2.3. He actually, in the sports world, got himself a bargain at $2 billion.
That's right.
Do they generate that much money?
With TV contracts, yeah, you can.
Boy, seems like it would take you a long time to get your money back.
Well, if you sell it, what's happened when you look at the at Forbes, and I know you read that often. When you look at Forbes, they always go through
it, so.
Every year. It's an ES on the end. When they go through the value of franchises, like, almost every franchise is valued at over $1 billion now, and the Cowboys and the Yankees are the top two. Usually in that $5 to $7 billion range in terms of what their current value happens to be. And so when you're talking about TV contracts, tickets, arenas, markets, things like that, it all adds up.
How did the Cowboys get there? I've never
smart.
Seen a team that has just
smart.
Totally lived on something that happened 30 years ago.
Well, okay, in terms of the value of the team?
Yeah.
Why are they worth on the level of
the Yankees?
That's a really good question. It really doesn't have a lot to do with winning or losing. It has to do with the business of it. So in the business of it for the Cowboys, their brand is valuable. He has, and how he did this, I'm going to have to look up one of these days, and I've never taken the time to look at it. The NFL has an all-encompassing deal with Nike. Not the Cowboys. They have a separate Nike deal that pays them a boatload of money. And their merchandise is off the charts. The stadium he built with his money, and I've done a game in there. I did a Cotton Bowl game in there. That stadium is about $1.3 to $1.5 billion. And, Kevin, it's worth it. I mean,
It's
got everything in it, and it's not just used for football.
Right.
It's getting used for concerts, wrestling, all the time. I mean, it's invaluable. And then
so
now they've
that,
got their,
any event that goes on in there, is that part of the Cowboy brand?
That's his. Yep. That's all Jerry Jones.
So it makes
sense. That's all part of it.
And then they've got their own training complex now, which I have not seen. It's up in Frisco, which is all theirs. That's where their offices are not in Arlington. Their offices are in Frisco. Their practice field is in Frisco, the whole deal. They just play the games down in Arlington. But like, he owns that land down there, and he does not lease it. The building is his. It's all which is brought into, obviously, what the value of the company, the Dallas Cowboys Incorporated, happened to be. Same thing with the Yankees. It's New York. It's the TV contracts. It's the radio contracts. It's the value of the new Yankee Stadium. That's a $1.2 billion stadium. And you start adding it all up. And it's all not just about what your record is. It's about your market, your marketability, merchandise, TV contracts, radio contracts, and your ability to use the stadium, the ballpark, whatever it may be.
You know, he's really a good guy. Do you remember when he got in that accident, like maybe 2 years ago?
How about Jerry Jones?
He got in a car accident, and it was not his fault. He got T-boned. And, I mean, he was very, you know, they had body cams, and everyone's got a phone, and everything gets filmed. But he was overly concerned about the other guy and trying to help the other guy. And, you know, he could have easily said, hey, I'm a rich man, you know, how could you do that to me? He was more just a regular guy trying to, you know.
His biggest fault as an owner is that, in my opinion, is that he is part of the draft process.
Yeah.
In other words, he knows a lot about football, but maybe he doesn't know as much as somebody who is a professional general manager. Like, take, for example, Jeffrey Lurie knows a lot about football, but he's hired Howie Roseman. And Howie Roseman has done a great job. I mean, do you think the Maras know about football? For goodness sakes, the Maras were raised on football.
Yeah.
Right? But they hired this Joe Shane from Buffalo, and the guy's smart. That's his job. And I think that's, you know, while Jerry Jones has been, and let's face it, he's been very loyal to coaches. Jason Garrett, how many years? Mike McCarthy, still loyal to him. I mean, this guy does not hire and fire people on whims the way George Steinbrenner did.
Oh, except for the one, the Oklahoma coach.
Well, the Switzer thing, Switzer was also older at the time, too.
I mean, he ripped the trophy out of his hands.
But he's been, he hung with Jason Garrett a long time. He hung with Mike McCarthy for a while now.
But it takes a special coach to coach for him.
Yeah, it does.
A good example is the Patriots probably took it too far, giving Belichick all the reins to do whatever he wanted, because Kraft has stepped in now. You know, they've really shaken things up there, because Kraft is looking at the product and saying, hey, wait a minute, you don't have an offensive coordinator. I want an offensive coordinator, And Belichick has had to listen to the owner for really the first time,
Well, hey, guess what? He writes the checks.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying that it's the other end of the spectrum where you let your football people make all the decisions, but then when it's not going the way you want it to, I mean, these guys didn't make it where they made it without making hard decisions,
It's the same,
sometimes they have to step in. Jerry steps in too much. Remember Bill Parcells? He was like, I can't coach this way.
Right. You know, and that's what I mean.
Somebody looking over my shoulder.
Because he's the general manager of the team as well as being the owner, which, by the way, is his prerogative. I'm just saying, but at the same time, he who represents himself in court doesn't have the best client. And that's why, he probably got to delegate. But, when you're the owner, for example, if Roger wants to tell Matt and me, hey, look, I think I want to hear this, well, guess what Matt and I have to do?
Yep.
Roger owns it. And we completely respect Roger. And if Roger tells us that we need to do something, okay, well, all right, that's what we need to do. Hey, let's take a break.
Sports, it boils down to the fans. You know, the fans are paying the bill. And when the fans start to get uproar, that's when the owner says, okay, that the fans are his boss, you know.
And I've said this a hundred times. So. I've said this 100 times about this business, which applies, by the way, to sports. Right? This business and sports, same thing. We need you, the audience, more than you need us. So we need to keep putting out and generating a product every day that interests you. Right? And that in sports, they have to keep doing that in sports to get you excited to watch. We in this profession here, radio, we need to do the type of job to get people interested in listening to this show because we need them more than they need us. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hey, by the way, before we continue, Devon Townley, remember how he put his name into the transfer portal?
Yes.
For Penn State? He's coming back to Penn State.
Oh. All right, then.
And again, I've stressed this many, many times. Just because your name is in it doesn't mean it's automatic you're leaving. And I will say this, Devon Townley, as this past season went in practice, got better and better and better. Right? Now, how he can help, we'll see. But he has decided to come back. He's taken his name out of the portal.
All right.
All right, let's pick some games.
All right, super wild card weekend. So last weekend, I went 5-2, King went 4-3, and so did Steve. So that brings our grand totals to me at 98-61, King at 84-74, Steve at 92-67. I also won the bowl picks, by the way. I went 24-18, King went 22-18, Steve went 22-20. So now we go on.
I have two less games.
Oh. All right, I must have miscounted. Tell me what you email me what you have, King.
Huh?
Email me what you have, and then I can compare.
I will. I haven't added them all up. I was so distraught with my TCU pick that. Oh my God!
We'll just skip that.
That wasn't even a game.
We'll see what happens.
Michigan lose to TCU. I don't get it.
Anyway. We can all just go back and laugh about that one. Anyway, first one of Wild Card Weekend, we got San Francisco, 9.5-point favorites at home against Seattle. King.
And we're not doing the spreads on these. We're just picking the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think we should do the spreads. I mean, they're all good games. I'm taking the Niners.
Steve.
Niners.
Yeah, I got Niners, too. Although I would love to see a Seattle upset, I got Niners. Next one, Saturday night.
Look, all you care about is getting the easiest matchup for your team, okay? I got it, okay?
But it's like a double whammy. Not only do you get Seattle a 7 seed, but then you knock out the Niners. I mean, that's significant.
Well, who's Philly going to play?
They'll play either Seattle, the Giants, the Cowboys, or the Bucks.
Who do you want?
Lowest seed. Out of that group, I'd love Seattle. My order is Seattle, Giants, Tampa, Dallas. In terms of who I want to who I don't want.
There you go.
So there you go. All right, Saturday night. Al Michaels returning with Tony Dungy for Jacksonville hosting the L.A. Chargers. Steve.
It's going to be a really good game, but I'm going to go with the Chargers on the road.
I agree. I know they don't have Mike Williams, but I think you're going to see Trevor Lawrence have a similar performance that he did last week, where it'll be shaky, make some throws, but kind of up and down. Chargers defense gets a play late, and Trevor Lawrence gets his first ever loss on a Saturday. So I'm going with the Chargers. King.
I got the Jaguars.
Ooh, all right.
I got Chargers. I haven't been on board with all year. They've been. If there's one team that underachieved this year, they did. I thought they'd be better. Sometimes they just don't do anything for me.
For what it's worth, Chargers are 2.5-point favorite on the road. Next one, we got Miami and Skylar Thompson heading up to Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills. They are a 13.5-point favorite at home. King.
Buffalo's going to kill them.
I
won't
concur.
Even be a game.
Yeah, I definitely concur there. Steve.
Skylar Thompson, gone. Buffalo.
There you go. All right, now we go to the Sunday slate, or second half of the Sunday slate, I should say. Everyone's liking the upset here. Giants at Vikings. Steve, do you agree?
So am I. Giants.
I'm also on that bandwagon. New York football Giants, which means if this is the case, they come to the link. King.
The Giants are the opposite of the Chargers. They've overachieved, and they have a tremendous football coach. That guy can coach football.
Yep.
I got Giants.
All right. Sunday night this week, Tyler Huntley and the Ravens taking on Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Steve.
John Harbaugh. Gone. Cincinnati.
I concur. The Harbaugh brothers will both be sitting on the couch this time next week. Cincinnati wins this pretty handily, I think. King.
I got the Bengals. Yeah, the Ravens just inched their way in.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say something about Lamar Jackson today. They said, you know, he's got a PCL or something in his knee and not sure if he's going to play.
Oh, he's definitely out now.
They started talking about Dumar. They said Dumar had a heart attack a week ago and he wants to play. So,
well, you talk ACL, MCL, PCL sometimes is the worst. To be honest with you.
Yeah, well, this has a lot to do with contracts and stuff. By the way,
he's his own agent. Roquan Smith is his own agent as well, and he got the highest number of any linebacker, so Roquan did pretty well.
Well, what it's
all
worth,
about money.
Exactly. Well, what it's worth, Cincinnati's 8.5-point favorites at home. Minnesota giving the usual 3-point favorite at home in that game. Then finally, the Monday night wild card game, Tampa Bay, Tom Brady. Maybe it's his last game as a Tampa Bay Buck. We'll see. They got Dak and the Dallas Cowboys. King.
I got the Bucks. I watched the Cowboys last week. I'm telling you, I don't like conspiracy theories or anything. They look like they threw the game and didn't want to play. And if you do that, I'm just going to go with the Bucks. The Cowboys were horrible last week. So.
Steve.
Dak Prescott. Moving on, Dallas.
I thought you were going to go gone, but no, I agree.
Nope. The Cowboys have lost 8 straight road playoff games, but I don't know. It's Tampa Bay does not have enough offense. They just don't.
Agreed. Run game is historically bad.
And it's the running game that is just, they can't run the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that, and I just don't like the matchup with their depleted O-line against that Dallas pass rush, too.
Yeah, and that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as much as I love to see it.
Hurt them this year.
Yeah.
Big time. Brady's getting hit a lot.
It all started when they lost the center to start the season.
Correct.
Yeah.
So as much as I love to see it, I'm taking Dallas as well.
Oh, you... Somebody check him. I think he's got the shakes.
I'm like the kiss of death forever, I think.
So, which means if these were to, if mine and Steve's picks were to stay, that means the Giants would be coming to Philly next week.
And at that point, you are not.
Going to Philly?
And at that point, you would not be winning.
Man, what a game, man. You are going to have a blast.
I'm looking forward to it.
That place is wild.
They match up well with the Giants, to be honest with you. So that'd be a good matchup for them.
Who?
For the Eagles.
The Eagles. Yeah. They match up well with the Giants.
I think it's going to be the Eagles and Niners in the championship.
Me too.